Find your favorite shows. Don't get discouraged. Get on demand. Free. Thanks again to the listeners at GCNLive.com.
Wondering about your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold, hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
The United States is bankrupt and the bankers want you bankrupt also. How would you like to be debt-free in 90 days guaranteed? DebtCrisisSolutions.com has helped tens of thousands out of debt since 1993 and will free you from the debt trap. DebtCrisisSolutions.com legally guarantees to put an end to wage garnishment, bank levies, and liens, and you won't pay one dime to creditors. With Debt Crisis Solutions program, you'll also restore your credit history and be protected from legal action without making one more payment to creditors. DebtCrisisSolutions.com specializes in credit report restoration, preventing wage garnishment and bank levies, liens, and judgments. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Become debt-free in 90 days, guaranteed. Call Debt Crisis Solutions now for a free consultation at 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Thank you for listening to GCN.
IRN USA Radio News, I'm Hope Duggar. Saying the economy is badly weakened, Barack Obama called on Americans to pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and begin again the work of remaking America.
Today I say to you that the challenges we face are real. They are serious and they are many. They will not be met easily or in a short span of time. But know this, America, they will be met.
In his inaugural address, Obama said the weakened economy is a consequence of greed and irresponsibility on the part of some, but also attributed some of the difficulties to our collective failure to make hard choices and prepare the nation for a new age. He cited a litany of economic misery, noting homes and jobs have been lost while businesses have been shuttered. A huge crowd packed the National Mall in Washington today to witness Barack Obama take the oath of office. He was sworn in by the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court on the steps of the Capitol building. This is IRN USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Dale Denton from Maryland. I came from a real estate background. My traditional business, my overhead was enormous, and a downturn put me out of business. The problem with my traditional business was that my overhead grew as the company grew, and it eventually grew to about $500,000 a month, which I couldn't sustain during a recession and a downturn. I found myself near 50 and having to start over with no retirement plan. And I've been working the three-step plan for just over 2.5 years, something under 3 years. And the great thing about the Andy Libby three-step plan, the minimum investment compared to the return that I got was just awesome. The three-step plan has given me my life back.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? This is Andy Willoughby with the three-step plan home business system. To find out how you could make more money working from home, go to threestepplan.com or call 800-658-0459. 800-658-0459.
The pound has slumped to a 7.5-year low against the dollar. Correspondent Charles de Ledesma has this report from London.
The run on the pound has been triggered by the government saying it was going to bail out the banking sector for the second time in just over 3 months. One economist says that investors are concerned about the cost of the government measures and the implications they might have with escalating borrowing and the possibility of a doubling of Britain's debt. So hopes that the announcement would ease stock market pressures on the banks have evaporated as they've suffered another day of frenzied selling, with the pound falling sharply. Charles Ledesma, London.
Pre-trial hearings for two Guantanamo terrorist detainees have been suspended until Wednesday at the earliest. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who boasted of plotting the September 11th terror attacks, and another suspect admitted to being guilty at Monday's hearing before a military tribunal in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. The two men plus three additional captives are charged with nearly 3,000 counts of murder for all those who died on 9/11. For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNNews.com.
The pit bulls at the credit card company made my life miserable with their 25 calls a day.
If you are behind on credit card bills, call Acopia Consulting now. They could help you save thousands by settling your debt for less than what you owe. Individual results may vary, not available in all states.
I can't tell you what a relief it is to have that load off my shoulders.
Call for your free, no-obligation consultation now. 800-431-9202. 800-431-9202. 800-431-9202.
After almost 2 weeks of a deep freeze and a Russia-Ukraine dispute over gas supply and transit agreement, the gas flow to the European Union has finally resumed.
Russia's gas giant Gazprom has confirmed it had resumed gas flows into the Ukrainian pipeline system for export to Europe. The contract on supply and transit of Russian gas to Ukraine and Europe was signed in Moscow on Monday evening. According to the new terms, in 2009, Kyiv will pay 20% less than the European gas market price. Ukraine will start paying European rates from 2010, while charging Russia market rates for transit. Naftogaz officials said Europe would start receiving Russian gas within 36 hours from the moment of gas flow resumption.
The list of companies pulling items with peanut butter is growing amid a salmonella outbreak that has killed at least 6 people and sickened almost 500. General Mills and two grocers are the latest announcing recalls. The Food and Drug Administration's website has a list of recalled products and brands. Federal safety officials say the U.S. Airways jet that made a dramatic landing on the Hudson River last week experienced an engine compressor failure 2 days earlier. However, investigators say they haven't found any anomalies or malfunctions from the time the plane took off last Thursday to when the pilot reported a bird strike. The New York Jets plan to introduce the team's new head coach tomorrow morning. Rex Ryan is reportedly inking a 4-year deal worth $12 million. Ryan spent a decade in the Baltimore Ravens organization and was the defensive coordinator for the past 4 seasons. With IRN USA Radio News, I'm Hope Duggar.
Now you can upgrade your existing gravity filter to remove chemicals such as trimethylenes, atrazine, benzene, chlorine, chloroform, and MTBE to below detectable limits. Black Berkey elements are so powerful, they remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and transform water, even raw, stagnant pond water, into delicious, crystal-clear drinking water. Nitrates, nitrites, radon-222, unwanted heavy metals like lead, mercury, and aluminum are no problem. Foul tastes like chlorine and obnoxious sulfur odors are removed without removing the healthful and beneficial minerals that your body needs. Black Berkey elements flow 1.5 to 2 times faster than ordinary gravity elements, which means it takes much less time to filter your water. Supercharge your gravity filter today. Upgrade to Black Berkey purification elements.
Get a 2-pack, only $99, or a 4-pack, only $188. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, our guest this afternoon is William Grigg, and he'll be with us in just a moment. Certainly, he was formerly the senior editor at the New American magazine, but we were just listening to the news, if you were, and you heard about, of course, the fact that the Russians had cut off the flow of natural gas to Ukraine and ultimately to Eastern Europe, which meant that, of course, an awful lot of people over there this time of year were very cold. You know, as I listened to that, I thought back through the years, and I can remember when their American money was used to build that pipeline from Russia to Eastern Europe. And at the time, I thought to myself, why would rational people be wanting to build a pipeline from Russia into Eastern Europe and make Europe depended upon the Russians? Well, for the same reason that we built the highway that was used by the Russians into Afghanistan, went from Russia to into Afghanistan. Why would we have built a highway that went from Russia to Afghanistan? Well, of course, then you remember in 1979, the latter part of that year, why the Russians then actually used that highway to move their troops into Afghanistan. Is it possible that there are some forces out there working within the shadows that to plan everything long ahead of time, and that, of course, the events that we see are simply reflections of that long-range planning? Is it possible that the current economic collapse that we are witnessing was planned a long time ago for a very specific purpose, and that was, of course, to bring about a new world economic system? And, of course, if you've read that wonderful article, you can find it on the Internet simply by going up on Google and typing in Henry Kissinger. International Herald Tribune, and then, of course, the word New Financial Order, or New World Economic Order. And you'll pull the article down, read it to half a dozen times, because Henry Kissinger lays out the whole plan. We are either going into this new international order, or there's going to be fragmentation and chaos. This is a wonderful opportunity. All the tragedy, all the collapse throughout the world, what a wonderful opportunity to bring change to the world. Is it possible there really are people that diabolic that would create the problem because they want a solution? And I think you know the answer. Of course there are. They know exactly what they're doing, but the one thing they fear is the American people are going to realize that these people are subversives. They have an intense hatred of America. Their loyalty is not to America, but to this idea of a new world order, a new world economic system, a new world currency, a new world religion, because this movement is founded in the occult. And the enthronement of a new world leader. And with that, William Grigg, thanks so much for being with us again.
Dr. Stan, thank you so much for having me on as a guest. It's been interesting today to see the sort of engineered ecstasy that has accompanied the enthronement of Mr. Obama as the presumed imperial leader of what is still called the free world, still called unironically by people who aren't paying attention, that is. And yes, it was interesting to see how his inaugural address, which I read, I didn't listen to his speech. I thought it'd be interesting to read the text as opposed to hear it delivered. How his speech was sort of honeycombed with little gentle allusions to exactly what you were talking about in terms of this effort to remold world society or to mold a world society that would be suitable to some kind of global arrangements for governance thereof. And whenever there's an inauguration of a president, I'm always reminded of what the historian Arthur Toynbee described as the worship of collective human power being perhaps the oldest religion, that is, the oldest man-made religion. And every 4 years or 8 years or however frequently we inaugurate a new president, now that we're sort of in the autumnal phase of America's imperial history, there's this sense that somehow the majesty of the state becomes incarnated in this one individual. And here, of course, with Mr. Obama, you've got somebody who is already being advertised as a transcendent historical figure on the account of the fact that he's the first American of African ancestry to hold the office of president. But shot through his inaugural address are little hints and allusions of the fact that he sees himself more in terms of being a figure of global stature as opposed to merely being the chief executive of the federal government of the United States. There is one paragraph, for instance, that starts out being sort of a boilerplate invocation of this sacred principle of diversity, where he talks about us being a nation of Christians and Muslims, Jews and Hindus and non-believers, et cetera, shaped by every language and culture, drawn from every end of this earth. And he goes on to build, or his speechwriter, whoever it was, went on to build a little bit of a peroration here toward the idea of a unified humanity. Is we cannot help but believe that the old hatreds will someday pass, that the lines of tribes shall soon dissolve, that as the world grows smaller, our common humanity shall reveal itself, and that America must play its role in ushering in a new era of peace. And for peace, of course, I believe he's thinking in terms of globalized institutions that would be under the supervisory power of this elite cadre of global elders, if you will. And just a couple of paragraphs later, he's talking in terms of the supposed global obligations of Americans. He says, to the people of poor nations, we pledge to work alongside you to make your farms flourish and let clean waters flow, to nourish starved bodies and feed hungry minds. And to those nations like ours that enjoy relative plenty, we can say we can no longer afford indifference to suffering outside our borders, nor can we consume the world's resources without regard to effect. For the world has changed, and we must change with it. Now, of course, that is a mildly lyrical gloss on the fundamental conceit of Marxism, from each according to his ability to each according to his need, transposed into the language of international relations. We have relative plenty here in the United States. There are others who suffer. That means that, obviously, there must be some mechanism to level out the playing field so that those who are suffering can have more of what we have, because that's simply the nature of the world we're living in. And we can't continue to consume the world's resources the way that we had before. No, there are going to be people who are going to check-rein our consumption of the world's resources. There are people who have sufficient insight so as to decide how those resources should be divided up. and will have sufficient power to enforce their decrees, because that's the new era that we've embarked upon. That's another theme that was sort of woven through this speech, and he continually adverted to the notion of global warming being one of the most important principles of his foreign policy. He defined it as a threat akin to a foreign enemy. And so, really, there are elements of a hardcore, deeply socialist, globalist agenda in this inaugural address, which otherwise was sort of drab and perfunctory and by the numbers. And it was really quite brilliantly written, because it was so boring for the most part that people wouldn't really pay attention when there were little spikes of substance that were cast among the mush. And I think that what's going to happen is that those elements of Obama's agenda that resonate with the agenda of the multilateral institutions of the global power elite are going to be probably his earliest priorities, while, of course, he's waiting for the economic stimulus package to be put through and enacted, and waiting for that money to trickle out to the various institutions that would benefit from federal largesse. I think very early in his administration, he's really going to show his hand as a self-designated and establishment-appointed change agent within the White House to move us more in this direction of global socialism. And to the extent that you can really affix a label to Mr. Obama's perspective, he's been very careful to keep his background opaque. He's been very careful to make sure that his agenda is spoken of only in the most jejun of glittering generalities. But to the extent to which you can affix a label to what he believes in the idea of some kind of vaporous, vaguely messianic globalist utopianism. And it's interesting to see how people are being caught up in this, or being caught in this undertow, this generated undertow of enthusiasm here, where every single element of the mass media, all these organs of indoctrination and mobilization, are chanting in unison that basically we're in a historical turning point. We've reached this historical juncture, that there is this new age that has dawned, this new era has begun. We have to do things differently. We have to think in terms of becoming servants of our president. As a matter of fact, there was a perfectly nauseating video being circulated today featuring a number of second- or third-tier Hollywood celebrities talking about the various ways that they're going to heed their president's call for change. And one of them, at about 3 minutes and 54 seconds into this video, literally said, "I pledge to be a servant of my president." I mean, it's gotten to the point now where that message is being beaten like a tom-tom everywhere you go.
Well, William, we're out of time, but we're going to have to educate the American people and do it in a hurry. We'll be back in just a moment.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
The United States seems to be celebrating over its triumph of reducing government debt. But the truth be told, public and private debt increased to a record high in 1999, reaching a peak of $14.8 trillion, marking 10.57% annual increase, outpacing its previous 10 years. The U.S. economy receives its currency by taking on debt through private banking institution called the Federal Reserve System. In the year 2000, debt growth collapsed to only 4.5%. It's bad enough that the U.S. citizens is bound by debt in order to have commerce. However, shocking the economy with a reduction of this magnitude could wipe out years of growth in a stock portfolio. Before you make your next investment decision, get the cold hard facts. Call 1-800-686-2237 for your free report on the outstanding level of public and private debt. You must understand how recession and depression are driven by outstanding debt. Call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, our guest is William Grigg, and William is talking about certainly the inaugural address of the new president, and it's very interesting. You know, you go back and you read George Bush's inaugural address. There are a lot of phrases there that you wouldn't even recognize them unless you stop and thought about them. But actually, he laid the whole thing out in his inaugural address. In the first address, he talked not once but twice about the angel in the whirlwind who directs his storm. In the second inaugural address, he talked about the fire in the minds of men, this continuing world revolution. He talked about when our founders, you know, had this idea, this new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be completed, as words to that effect. Basically, of course, there is an age-old plan to bring about a world government. And, of course, the people who put Barack Obama in position of power are dedicated to that, and he is simply an extension of them. He is simply a figurehead for the elite, and he surrounded himself with exactly the same people who created the problem. The change he's going to bring is a change for the worse, the far worse. Go right ahead, William.
Did you listen to the address today, Dr. Stan?
I could not bring myself to do it. I could not bring myself to watch all those foolish people who've been swept up by the controlled media and this whole idea that we were going to coronate, not bring about a new leader, not inaugurate a new leader. We were coronating the new leader of America, a man who is a citizen of the world, a man who has a different dream. America must change. Well, I don't want to change it. I want to keep the America that we have based upon the Constitution, not the fascist society that's being planned for us in this new one world order.
Yeah, that was more or less how I approached it as well. Did you happen to read a copy of his address?
No, I'll have to get one, though.
Yeah, I thought it would be probably less nauseating to read it rather than to watch it delivered, because I really have a very low threshold of tolerance for the spectacle of people who are completely surrendering their faculties of critical thinking and completely submerging their individual identity into this manipulable entity that we call the mass man. I just can't stand that. Every time I see a group of people together who are acting in unity, I say to myself, nothing good can come of this. And the word unity or its cognates and synonyms was probably the most common word in this address, the idea that we have to dispense with our individual identity and our hang-ups about protecting that which is ours in the name of the common good, the common interest, in the name of unity. Now, there's nothing at all wrong with people being unified on matters of principle, but you don't have to surrender your individual identity to do it, and you certainly don't surrender your principles in order to achieve unity. That's the modern Hegelian, historicist, or even Marxist idea. Cultural Marxism is based on the idea of the synthesis, the Hegelian synthesis, the thesis, the antithesis. They come together, they compromise, they create a synthesis. And in order to do this, what you have to understand is that unity is always described as the highest good. Unity is that for which we sacrifice everything else, including, most importantly, those principles that we profess. If a principle impedes the achievement of unity, we have to set aside that principle, and we have to embrace something that is a substitute for that principle in order to achieve unity. That was one very important theme woven into this address today. And it was really sort of visible in the presence of Rick Warren giving the invocation. Rick Warren is regarded by some as a vaguely conservative evangelical Christian leader. I don't know how I'd describe his doctrine, and of course I don't have access to his inner mind, his convictions. I don't know what his relationship with God would be like. I don't know what his doctrinal commitments would be, but I do know in terms of his practice, he's syncretistic. He believes in unity. He believes in bringing about cultural unity through the mediation of differences that result in some kind of a consensus. He's somebody who has been promoting a version of the social gospel where the most important task of the church is not to bring about the redemption of souls, but rather to advance social justice as measured by the conceits of the global elite. So he's very deeply involved in, for instance, AIDS relief in Africa, which is a worthy cause, but it's no worthier than the salvation of souls. We all die of something. AIDS is a horrible disease. Cancer is a horrible disease that kills more people than AIDS. It's the sort of a thing where you've got to wonder if he's trying to pitch himself, Mr. Warren, as somebody acceptable to the global elite, or if he's acting out of genuine conviction. The fact that he has attached himself to political power, in my mind, speaks something about his motivations. But the fact that this individual who professes to be a conservative, evangelical, Bible-believing Christian pastor can be in near proximity to somebody like Barack Obama and not rebuke him for a number of things that Obama intends to do with power, it represents, in my mind, a compromise that's completely unacceptable. It's, of course, perfectly acceptable for somebody who is a witness for the Christian gospel to be in near proximity to power, as long as you behave, in my opinion, the way that John the Baptist behaved when he was in the presence of Herod. And on that point, it's really interesting that Mr. Obama's priorities in the social realm are very Herodian. One of the very first things he intends to do is to reverse the so-called Mexico City policy regarding the subsidy of Planned Parenthood and other organizations that are involved in promoting and performing abortions overseas. The Mexico City policy, of course, was one that went into effect during the Reagan administration, which refused taxpayer subsidies to organizations that promote abortion overseas as a matter of population control. Now, the federal government should not be involved in population control of any sort. There's no constitutional provision that authorizes this. But what is happening now is that Mr. Obama is saying to those of us who are pro-life by way of conviction that we simply have no choice, that we have to surrender our tax dollars at literal gunpoint so that they can be used in order to promote abortion overseas, to bring about the slaughtering of children in the interests of population control, according to demographic targets that are set by the United Nations. And, of course, by doing this, among other things, first of all, it's sufficiently offensive that they're slaughtering innocent children. And that, of course, is a very good reason to get out of that sordid business of population control and population management altogether. But they're also, of course, provoking even more hostility in the Muslim world, which is a primary target of a lot of these population stabilization and control activities.
But
Muslims are so inflamed against us.
But first, one of the things is they primarily target Africa and the blacks in Africa, and that's what people don't understand. There really is within this whole population control agenda a terrible antipathy towards black people, and they have, not only in the United States, where they've Planned Parenthood has put most of their clinics, you know, in areas with a high black population. So this is what they're doing in Africa. They're targeting the blacks of Africa for population control and elimination, as many of them as possible. That's what AIDS is all about. AIDS mm-hmm. has a predilection for blacks much more. I mean, there's genetic differences, and this disease is designed, if it was designed, to hit blacks far more than whites, which is why here in the United States, almost half, not quite, but almost half of all the AIDS cases are in blacks. That did not happen by accident. So why would Obama be encouraging this population control concepts and abortion, which really were actually targeted from the very beginning by Margaret Sanger towards the black population?
Well, you know, the other thing that I find interesting, we discussed this before, Dr. Stan, is that Jesse Jackson, whose career has more or less been brought to an end by Obama, which may be one of the few positive things that Obama's brought about. We'll talk about this on the other side of the break, perhaps.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with our special guest, Mr. William Grieg. We're going to be talking about the abomination that is upon us. We'll be right back here at Genesis.
The United States is bankrupt, and the bankers want you bankrupt also. How would you like to be debt-free in 90 days guaranteed? DebtCrisisSolutions.com has helped tens of thousands out of debt since 1993 and will free you from the debt trap. DebtCrisisSolutions.com legally guarantees to put an end to wage garnishment, bank levies, and liens, and you won't pay one dime to creditors. With Debt Crisis Solutions program, you'll also restore your credit history and be protected from legal action without making one more payment to creditors. DebtCrisisSolutions.com specializes in credit report restoration, preventing wage garnishment and bank levies, liens, and judgments. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Become debt-free in 90 days, guaranteed. Call Debt Crisis Solutions now for a free consultation at 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Doctors around the world claim that cancer and other diseases cannot live in a pH-balanced alkaline environment. But as you know, most people are overly acidic due to stress, acidic diet, and lack of exercise. pH balance is the foundation of energy abundance and perfect health, as well as prevention of disease. People who alkalize the water they drink experience normalized blood sugar, mental clarity, and loss of weight. It was intended for human beings to drink alkaline water, but due to modern way of life, most people are overly acidic. The fact is that disease simply cannot exist in an alkaline environment. Fat accumulates if a person consumes too much acid on a regular basis and doesn't neutralize it. Do your part. Alkalize and supercharge your body now. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops contain a special mineral salt concentrate that raises the pH of the water you drink up to the pH of 10 with only 10 drops. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops now by going directly to alkavision.com. Again, that's alkavision.com.
Do you have doubts about the stability of the dollar or your own financial future? Is a dismal growth rate or rampant inflation affecting the bottom line of your retirement savings account? Do you worry about uncontrollable economic events which could suddenly wipe out some or all of your hard-earned savings? You can turn adversity into opportunity. Individual retirement accounts and most 401ks, 403bs, SEPs, and other retirement plans can be rolled over into self-directed accounts using gold and silver. There are definitely some do's and don'ts with this rollover process, and that's where Midas Resources comes in. Call us at 1-866-323-5665 and we can help you with this process. History has shown that metals will maintain your buying power even if other financial assets are failing. It's not a question of if you'll need precious metals in your portfolio. It's a question of when. So whether you're planning for an economic rainy day or a Category 5 hurricane, the solution is the same. Call us today at 1-866-323-5665. 1-866-323-5665.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and certainly our guest this afternoon, Mr. William Grigg, we're talking, well, you go right ahead, and why don't you tell us, first of all, how people can get to your website, and then we'll get back to the subject at hand.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. I do have a daily blog called Pro Libertate. I call it a daily blog. I try to update it between 3 and 5 times a week, depending upon my schedule, and the web address for that is www.freedominourtime.blogspot.com. It's a rather long URL, and there's an easy way to go there. I have another website called willgrigg.com. Very easy to remember, willgrigg.com. And if you go to that website, on the front page of it, in the upper right-hand corner, there's a list of outside links, and Pro Libertate, my blog, is the very first link. You click on that, it'll take you right to it. And that blog, of course, contains at the end of every essay a hyperlink to Amazon.com where people can order my most recent book, Liberty and Eclipse, The War on Terror and the Rise of the Homeland Security State. And the purpose of writing that book, which came out about a year ago, was to let people know in some detail the history of how we ended up with our current circumstances, which is to say, where our country once had tens of thousands of independent law enforcement bodies, sheriff's departments and police departments and so forth, they were locally accountable, and they operated as peace agencies, that is to say, a sheriff or sheriff's deputy or police officer was a peace officer whose duty was just more or less to ensure that law-abiding people were protected from the lawless and otherwise not to have much of a role in the community. And now we have more or less an inchoate, but very rapidly coalescing army of occupation. Police departments have become militarized. They're now officially, if not on a consistent basis in practice, officially in principle, they're federalized. And our country is taking on more and more of the overt characteristics of a garrison state. And I, in this book, talk about the history of this process. Of course, that's my opinion that this would have happened without 9/11 intervening. 9/11, of course, accelerated the timetable considerably. But we were well on that course long before 9/11. And on 9/11, the fundamental framework for the Homeland Security Department was on the desk of Mr. Bush, ready to be implemented. And there are similar things that were on the desk of Mr. Bush after 9/11 that have been implemented. There are base proposals which are on the desk of Mr. Obama right now, which would accelerate, catalyze further this descent of the United States into unalloyed police state tyranny. And Liberty and Eclipse is a book that tells how we got here, exactly how bad things are, because not many people are really paying careful attention to the characteristics that our state has acquired, the state that rules us, better put, has acquired, and how we can do something about reversing this trend. And so that book is available through my blog. If you go to willgrigg.com, go to Pro Libertate, you can order that book directly. And we're also going to be putting a number of other books up for sale through my website and giving people access to what I've written and some of the things that I've done by way of audio and video products as well.
Now, you go right ahead.
Yeah, before the break, we were talking about population control, and a population control from its inception was an attack on a number of the subpopulations of humanity that are of African background or some others that are considered minorities, at least in this part of the world. In the developing world, of course, when you talk about Africa and some other countries, these are not minority populations, they're majority populations, but they've been targeted nonetheless by the people who are the architects of this population control system. And this is a subject about which I have a certain passion. My first job of any consequence after college was with the National Right to Life Committee, and the first two books I wrote dealt with population control, eugenics, abortion, the assault on the ethic of the preciousness of individual human life. And one of the things I'd mentioned is that Jesse Jackson, the self-appointed, and once again, I think self-appointed might not be the right expression, but the establishment anointed black leader before the ascent of Barack Obama, when he started out his career as an inner-city social gospel preacher back in the 1970s, he referred to abortion as an attempt at genocide within the black community, which I think is a very good description. If you take a look, as you pointed out, Dr. Stan, at the way that Planned Parenthood facilities and like-minded organizations have created little homesteads and colonies in inner-city black communities within this country, it seems to be a reasonable assumption that they are making a special effort to reach out to black communities so as to promote antinatalist policies, including abortion, within the black community. So Jesse Jackson, I think, for once in his life, perhaps the only recorded instance, was making sense, but he changed his tune dramatically when suddenly he became sort of a foundation-favored black leader, and when he put Organization Push together and some of his other efforts, suddenly he dropped references to abortion from a lot of his outreach programs. They were very, very salient in the 1970s. By the time he became a presidential contender in the mid-1980s, he'd embraced the pro-abortion plank of the Democratic Party platform and become an outspoken proponent of abortion. It's the same sort of thing that you see with Barack Obama, where he actually was caught in a moment of candor talking about the idea that if one of his two beautiful little daughters ended up pregnant outside of wedlock, he wouldn't want to see her, quote-unquote, punished with a baby. There's something just chillingly misanthropic about referring to a baby as a punishment. You know, whatever the circumstances of the baby's conception, and of course, the ideal circumstances for the baby to be conceived in wedlock with a mother and a father present to provide some stability to teach that child the fundamental, rudimentary approach, skills and approaches necessary to become a successful human being. But whatever the circumstances, the child's conception, a child is never a punishment. I mean, a child is a singular blessing. I can't think of a better blessing than a child, particularly a young baby. But Barack Obama, speaking to a group of people who are of the antinatalist persuasion, very candidly unbosomed himself of the opinion that a child in that circumstance would be a punishment. That's something that he, of course, would not be saying for larger public consumption, nor would, of course, he be underscoring the fact that he has a record of promoting, or at least supporting, in a material sense, as a legislator in Illinois, the repeal or the suppression of measures intended to protect children who were supposed to be aborted, but who survived the procedure intended to kill them. There are many, many instances on record. Some of them occurred in the state of Illinois when Mr. Obama was a legislator and an ally of Planned Parenthood, where a child survives an abortion procedure and is allowed to die or encouraged to die through either aggressive neglect or outright homicide. And it is the opinion of Planned Parenthood now that any child that enters, of course, in utero, along with a mother, into an abortion facility and is scheduled for death, has no right to live, even if that child survives the procedure intended to kill that child. And that's a position that Mr. Obama supports. And if you take a look at his position on most social issues, he represents the hintermost flank of the radical, left-leaning, anti-conventional family, anti-life element of the Democratic Party. And yet, today, you saw Rick Warren offering the invocation. You saw, in the last couple of weeks, you saw Pat Robertson, of all the unlikely people, the apparently unlikely people, talking about how he was actually quite pleased with what Obama was doing in terms of putting together a cabinet, and he had the impression that Obama might end up becoming a great president. Mr. Robertson professed to have communed with deity toward the end of last year and to have received a revelation to the effect that Obama's part of the stimulus approach being put together, supposedly to revive the economy through inflation, is actually going to succeed, at least in the short term. Robertson said that the economy is actually going to improve this year on the basis of this supposed divine manifestation that he felt. And these are people who are, you know, Mr. Warren, Reverend Robertson, they're people who represent the so-called religious right. you hear Republicans across the length and breadth of the Beltway singing the praises of Obama already.
I think we're in real trouble, William, but at least we have a voice. Our voice should be raised to try to point out who put him in power, how the media created a Barack Obama, and how, of course, our ideas are manipulated, our tastes are formed largely by people we've never heard of.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case it's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you can have greater exposure to these chemicals by taking hot showers than when you drink the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate, and others are absorbed through the skin. The KDF shower filter is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter, normally $49, for our special price of only $35, a $14 savings. Call now to order at 1-888-803-4438. Order today and save $14 by calling 1-888-803-4438.
Hi, this is Steve Shank. eFoods does it again. The three-day responder provides one adult with 3 days worth of healthy, delicious, easy-fix food. The price of the three-day responder is almost ridiculous at $21.95 for actually 12 meals plus snacks. When you taste the food in the three-day responder, you'll understand why families trust eFoods Direct to provide healthy, delicious food for every need. Whether you're hunting, playing, or responding to an emergency, the food in the three-day responder is easy to fix and ready to go. Food is an everyday need. The three-day responder is for the time when food should be the last thing you have to worry about. The three-day responder, $21.95. Sometimes the best things do come in the smallest packages. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, eFoodsDirect.com. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, eFoodsDirect.com.
Are you tired of searching for Craig Talk Radio? Well, search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and of course, our guest is William Grigg. William, you've got about 5 minutes to wrap up the program.
I do think it's important, as you point out, Dr. Stan, that people are disabused of the notion that Mr. Obama was somehow carried into the presidency on a spontaneous tide of widespread grassroots enthusiasm. He is, as you point out, the perfect product of the same financial and power elite that anointed most of his predecessors, and say all of his predecessors, going back to at least, I suppose, 1912. It's really quite interesting to see how the change in partisan wind direction in Washington is causing a bit of a realignment in terms of the sycophants and other hangers-on that populate the punditocracy. I mentioned Rich Lowry from National Review. I don't know if I mentioned him in the last segment. I did an earlier interview today where I mentioned that Rich Lowry from National Review, who's the editor of that journal, which is founded by William F. Buckley, who was the establishment's anointed conservative leader. But Rich Lowry was rhapsodic about Barack Obama's speech today, saying that it was a wonderful conservative address. There's nothing vaguely conservative about it. Granted, there were random, somewhat perfunctory mentions of some of the watershed events in American history. There was, at the end of it, an allusion to Valley Forge. There were repeated invocations of patriotism. There was a shout-out to the troops serving in Iraq. There were, in other words, some of the little buckles and flourishes that one would attach to just about any suitably nationalistic address, but there really wasn't anything that I would consider to be conservative, and there was a great deal to it that was redolent of the furthest fringes of granola-fed New Age globalist leftism. Nonetheless, here we have Mr. Lowry from the National Review places his imprimatur on this speech as an expression of conservatism.
But I think, William, we have to realize that the conservative movement has been infiltrated.
Exactly.
A conservative church has been infiltrated. We look for the leaders that out there across America, and they're just not there.
That's exactly right. I mean, that's the point of why I brought up the case of not only Rick Warren, obviously, who was the fellow giving the invocation, but also Pat Robertson talking about Barack Obama as a potential, as potentially a great president. And today in the New York, not the New York Times, rather the Wall Street Journal, there was a piece by Gabriel Schoenfeld of the Witherspoon Institute. He's one of the main promoters of the neoconservative point of view, which is sort of a dialectical compromise between the Republicans and Democrats. The neocons, of course, are the people who are running the Bush administration, running their foreign policy. And it's the neocons who are promoting the idea of really wide-scale interventions in the Middle East. It was the neocons that inserted the lines of the Bush's speech about igniting a fire in the minds of men as a overture towards this grand strategy of global democratization by military force. Well, Mr. Schoenfeld's piece today in the Wall Street Journal said, well, the neocons are going home to the Democratic Party. They're quite comfortable with Obama because he shares most of their priorities. Beginning, of course, with the fact that Mr. Obama has always been in the pocket of the big interests in Wall Street. It was Wall Street that underwrote his campaign. It was not a campaign that was funded by small donations from people who were giving sacrificially. It was a campaign that was funded by Wall Street because it recognized in Barack Obama somebody who was very much on the same page as they were. Mr. Obama very enthusiastically voted for the so-called TARP bailout last September after giving a long speech detailing how it was a horrible deal, how it represented this huge transfer of wealth into the hands of corrupt corporatist interests in Wall Street. He promptly turned around and voted for it. Now he's asking for an even larger bailout in the realm of trillions rather than hundreds of billions of dollars. And it's really ironic that in all of this commentary over Barack Obama and what he represents, the only people in the public punditocracy who've gotten it right have been people on the left. If you go to Counterpunch, for instance, run by the redoubtable Andrew Coburn and company, they've been very, very good at talking about the established connections of Barack Obama, the fact that he is a product of the same Wall Street trilateralist Council on Foreign Relations stable, that the people who surround him are the architects of the so-called bipartisan foreign policy that's gotten us into this mess, and the fact that he's been very deeply involved in the corrupt bailouts of Wall Street. So you're right, Dr. Stan. I mean, we absolutely have to be talking to people at every opportunity about how it was that we ended up with this individual in the White House and how his agenda is something that was provided to him rather than something that spontaneously comes from him. And we have to help people understand that if we're going to save our country, this is something that's going to have to be done by taking power back from Washington rather than reposing our hopes on any one figure or any one group of people who occupy Washington at any given time. And I do think that as the financial crisis deepens, this is something Obama is not going to be able to solve, Pat Robertson's supposed theophany to the contrary notwithstanding. As the crisis deepens and people become more desperate, some of them are going to be seduced by the idea that government can be their omnipotent savior, but a larger number of them are going to be, I think, possessed of sufficient presence of mind to say, wait a second, these are the people that created the crisis, these are the people who exacerbated the crisis, how can we keep giving power to the people who are the architects of our misery? And I do think that as long as we have a voice and we can keep speaking in terms of the principles we understand, the public that will listen to us, there's always hope that we'll be able to turn things around. With God's help, of course, this is something that's going to require something on the order of a major miracle.
You're absolutely right. We're out of time. Our guest is William Grigg, but as long as God provides me with a voice and provides me, William with a voice and a pen, why, we'll be out there on the front lines. Thank you so very much for being with us. We'll look forward to having you again on Friday evening.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
God bless. Bye-bye. And, of course, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and our outreach, over 50 outlets every single week, is our weekend program, our afternoon program, our morning program, certainly our evening program. We do 5 hours of talk radio a day. But I do it because we've got to get the American people to understand that not only are there organizations out there, the Trilateral Commission, certainly the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Group of 30, the Masons, the Rosicrucians, the Theosophists, the Family. We could go down the list of these organizations. They're very real. They have membership lists, and they're all dedicated to one thing, a one-world government, a one-world financial system, the destruction of Christianity, and, of course, bringing about the one-world leader, because this is all Luciferian. It is a resurgence of Gnosticism, and the ancient secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years is that there is another God. And if you haven't heard my talk on the forbidden secret, you need to get it. That's the forbidden secret. We have another talk called the secret knowledge. But you need to get the syllabus that goes with the forbidden secret, because there we've reproduced George Bush's pieces where he talks about the angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs his storm not once but twice. Who is the angel who's directing all of the things that are going on today? Who rides in the whirlwind and directs this storm? Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. The syllabus, the forbidden secret, and of course, you need to get the talk that goes with it on DVD. And then we have so much other material. You need to get the material about the USS Liberty, that was the ship, the American intelligence ship, sent to the coast of the Sinai in the 67 war. And the plan was to kill everybody on board, and it started right in Washington, D.C., working together with the Israeli governments, and they intended to kill all those servicemen. 35, 37 were wounded, were killed, 170 or more were wounded. But those who survived were told if they ever revealed what happened, if they ever revealed, you know, who really attacked them and what happened, why, they would be sent to Leavenworth or worse. And the worst was, they knew what they were talking about. They were going to kill them. And all the men who survived remained silent for about 20 years until finally one and then another one and then another one and then another one had the courage to come forward. You need to understand that they killed General Patton. If you haven't read the book, Target Patton, we should have that in stock. And we have a couple of fascinating interviews with Mr. Wilcox, who wrote the book. Yeah, they assassinated General Patton. They killed Martin Luther King. If you haven't seen our 4-tape set, and it's really all with people who've studied the death of Martin Luther King, who attended the trial brought about by the Martin Luther King's family. And when the jury heard the evidence, after 4 months, they came up with the conclusion that government killed Martin Luther King. We have the 4-tape set, or CD set. It's available from Radio Liberty. You need to get the book, of course, written by Mr. William Pepper, who was hired by the King family. It's called An Act of State. And what was the Act of State? to murder Martin Luther King. We honored his birthday yesterday. Why don't we hear about how the government murdered him? You need to get our 4-tape sets on the murder of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. This information is available and so much more at Radio Liberty. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. Please pray for America.
It's no secret that Genesis Communications